It's good to see everybody here this morning. All right, we're going to have a lesson. Might be a little strange, but what else do you expect from me anyway? So anyway, God demands legalism. All right, now, as we know, in our world today, this term is used in a derogatory way. And it's usually when people of different religions start talking about Bible authority, they talk about legalism as being something horrible and terrible. But let's look at it. Is it really? Well, we're going to find out it's not. See, ever since the Garden of Eden, when Eve ate the forbidden fruit and gave to her husband to eat, things have remained the same. Nothing has really changed. And what do I mean by that? Well, the majority of people in this world choose not to obey God. And so, there you have it. The majority of people in this world choose not to obey God. And they want to do what they want to do. And sometimes, with a lot of them, God just seems to get in the way. And we've talked about that quite often. See, when someone has the audacity to tell them that they are in sin for doing so, the retort is usually something like, "You're just a legalist," or "That's just your opinion," or we don't see it the same way. But the idea of "you're just a legalist," I mean, that's a derogatory word, and it's not spoken in a kind manner at all. All right, let's notice this. See, the dictionary defines legalism as strict adherence to the law. I think we can understand that. I mean, it's pretty plain and simple. See, in every segment of our society, this is expected and enforced. And yet when it comes to religious practice, people choose not to follow the laws of God. They want to do their own thing. And so they want to feel secure in their salvation, but they do not want to follow all those rules. And as we have pointed out, we had like 5 sermons on all the commands in the New Testament. And there's a lot of them. And we're supposed to do all that Jesus commanded us. But a lot of people don't feel, "I don't need to do everything." And so, as we continue, since legalism is strict adherence to the law, then a legalist would be one who strictly adheres to the law. Now, you are a legalist if you stop at a traffic signal light that is red. You're a legalist. You're adhering to the law. See, if you stop at a stop sign, yeah, you can do that. And yeah, some people just kind of roll through, and some people then they have to pay the price for it. But still, if you stop at a stop sign, you're a legalist. See, if you follow the directions on the box, whatever it might be, or if you play a game according to the rules, you are a legalist. You're playing a game, whatever it is, and someone does something that's not within the rules, whoa, that's cheating, that's not right, and we're quick to point that out. Yet when it comes to religion, if someone's doing something that's not in the rules, everybody just seems to let it slide. And it should not be that way at all. See, how comfortable would you be, and honestly, if the pharmacist changed the prescription the doctor prescribed for you? Would you like that? No. Would it be acceptable for the pharmacist to take a look at you and decide you are overweight and give you a double portion, double measure? Or maybe he'll look and see you're skinny and decide you don't need that much medicine. What if he was to do that? What if the pharmacist substituted a different medicine from what the doctor prescribed? Not only would it be illegal, it could kill you. And so, we kind of expect the pharmacist to follow the directions, don't we? Because we put our trust in this doctor. He says, "I'm going to prescribe you some medicine." What do? Do we sit there and investigate what's in that medicine? No. We just take the pill. Says, "Take one pill in the morning." You take it. No questions asked. Why? Because we have our trust in the doctor to know that he knows what he's doing. And that's basically it. Now, if you didn't trust your doctor, you'd probably go get a second and third and fourth opinion. And if they all prescribe the same thing, then maybe that's what you need. See, in the New Testament day, see, publicans or tax collectors, tax gatherers, they were despised. And why is that? Because most of them were crooked. Most of them kept changing the amount of what people actually owed and then usually took a portion for themselves. See, they'd sit there and watch and find out if your neighbor borrowed money from you and then gave you some money, well, guess what? Your taxes just went up. And if you're dressed very nice, you can afford a lot more taxes. And so the tax collectors would just go up to a person and say, okay, you owe tax, I'm going to charge you X number of dollars. Just because of your appearance or the way you carry yourself or maybe the neighborhood that you're walking through. And then if you say, well, I don't have that. He has the officials over there, and he can throw them into jail because they didn't pay their taxes. I mean, we have a lot of people in this country don't pay their taxes, and they should be in jail, or they should be punished, or they should be made to pay their taxes. Our country wouldn't be in such bad shape if people just paid their taxes like they're supposed to. And so people who did not give in and pay what was demanded of them were thrown into prison. And would we accept any extra taxes other than what we really owed? Yeah, they have the books out there, and we can go look, and we owe this amount in taxes. We see that every year at tax time. And so we decide we're going to charge you an extra 10% or extra 20%. Wait a minute, that's not right. I only owe this amount. You're taking more. And that's how we feel most of the time, isn't it? Of course it is. And would we consider it fair if our neighbor was given a lower tax rate just because they were friends with the tax collector? That wouldn't be fair. We know that. And so we want everybody to be treated the same. But sadly, in our world, they're not treated the same. People are treated differently. And it's based on several reasons. People are not treated fairly and equally as they should be. And there are several factors that contribute to this, and they're all wrong. I mean, we could talk about skin color. There's a problem with a lot of people. And decisions are made based on skin color. And that is a problem. Social and financial status is a problem also. I mean, wherever you rank in the social ladder, wherever you rank in the financial category, are you a poor? Are you middle class? Are you rich? Are you ultra rich? I mean, that rules, different kind of rules apply to every one of these different groups, and that's not right. See, culture and religion are the cause of a problem with many. Yes, we know in recent years we've been very aware of the Muslim culture and what they do to their own people and what they've done to other people in this world. And so we see someone who's behaving like a Muslim, we're going to keep our eye on them. We're probably going to try and avoid them at any and all costs. And so these are all factors that determine how we treat somebody, but that is wrong. Remember what Jesus said to treat somebody? Treat someone the way you want to be treated. And that's what we're supposed to do. And so it doesn't matter what culture or background you're from, what country, what language you speak. I mean, that doesn't matter. And it should not matter to any Christian. No Christian should be able to look at someone because they talk funny or they look funny or different and decide, well, they're not worthy of my company. No Christian should ever do that. So that is wrong. But let's face it, we demand legalism just about everywhere. Now, I know there's a lot of people who don't mind breaking the law. I understand that. But people are trying to abide by the law. They don't think it's fair that these other people get away with breaking the law. It just doesn't seem right. You know, if I decide to do something like that, they'd probably nail me and give me citations and put me in jail. But these people, the other people, they're illegals. I mean, let's face it. I mean, they're breaking the law. But everywhere in our society, we expect this legalism to be enforced, except when it comes to serving God. And that's the problem we're faced with, is we have a world full of people who don't really observe God's laws the way they should. Now, how do you think God feels concerning those who choose to ignore his commands and do their own thing? I mean, let's face it. If the drill sergeant is there and says right face and someone turns left, I mean, he's not going to be too happy about that. If he says let's march and they just stand there and don't straighten up, drill sergeant is not going to be happy. And it's going to be that way. If the teacher holds up her hand signal and says, okay, class, follow me, and she starts walking, the class just dilly-dallying around, is she going to be happy? No. And we know that. And so, in our all around our society, we expect people to abide by the norm, by the rules. What others mean when they call us legalists is different from what the dictionary teaches. We showed you what the dictionary said, strict adherence to the law. Now, when these people start calling us legalists, they're not saying you're strictly obeying the law. They are suggesting that we are establishing our own rules in order to get to heaven. And when we demand those rules upon others, we become legalists. And that's what happens. See, when we start discussing the Bible and showing, here's what the Bible says, if someone doesn't want to abide by Bible authority, you're just a legalist. It's just one of those terms that all of a sudden, basically, everybody puts the brakes on and says, whoa, I can't go any farther. It's like the word race. You're just a racist. Whoa, you stop right there. Okay, I give in. So it's just one of those words. You're a legalist. Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm not a legalist. Or am I? Well, according to the dictionary, I am if I follow the rules. If I teach the rules of God's law, I am a legalist. And so, we're going to see what God says in this matter. We're going to notice a few things, and we'll start in the Old Testament. And in Genesis 2:16, says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Even a 5-year-old can hear that and tell you what you're not supposed to do. A child, a young person, a school student can read that. Well, this says if you eat that tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. What does that mean? Oh, they can go ahead and eat it. There's no big deal. Really? See, Adam and Eve learned the consequence of disobeying that command. Now, would we think, was that fair? Was that right for them to be punished just because they ate some fruit? Didn't God say you can eat all the fruit of this garden? Yeah, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. What they leave out is the but. What God said about that. They leave out that phrase. They ignore verse 17. And they determine, well, it just wasn't fair that God punished Adam and Eve and put them out of the garden just for one little bitty mistake. How many people you know made one little bitty mistake and it blew up on them? One little bitty mistake can get a person into a lot of trouble. See, we also must learn there are consequences if we disobey God. And we talk about that quite often, don't we? We talk about the commands of God and obeying them. And if we choose not to obey God, there's going to be consequences. And these consequences will last eternally if we don't get them squared away and where they belong. Here we go. Come on. All right. Deuteronomy 4:1-2, and then verse 5 and 6. So now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandment of the Lord your God which I command you. Then in verse 5, surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. See, there's results comes from this. We've got to pay attention to what God has said and then do them. And we just can't do this haphazardly or half-heartedly. We've got to put our mind to it. And we've got to do that. And we can't add. We know that. I mean, it says here in Deuteronomy, don't add to it, don't take away from it. We read that in Revelation, we read that in Proverbs. You don't add to God's word, you don't leave it out. And that's the way it should be with our teaching, with our religious practice. Do not add to God's word. And yet, many people in the denominational world have done that. Some in the churches of Christ have done that. And then, of course, they leave a lot out. And that's just as wrong. In Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 3. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God and keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you. You may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Say, the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them. Now, when we see that word, that you may observe them, does that mean just look? Okay, I see what the commands are. It's like someone looking at the Ten Commandments. Well, I see there's a plaque over there that has the Ten Commandments on it. But then they don't do them? No. The word observe here is to pay attention, to see what it says with the intention of acting upon it. And so that's what it is. And he said that twice in this passage. See in Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 and 2. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. But notice he says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to do and observe. Now, most people in this world would just kind of change every to something else. Some commandments which I command you today. Most commandments. You know, a lot of people just be satisfied with following most of the commandments of God. More people are satisfied with just following some commandments of God. But who do you know, other than a true Christian, observes every commandment of God? See in chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. I mean, this is what God requires of men today. To fear God and keep his commandments, just like the writer in Ecclesiastes said, and we'll read that in a little bit. And that's what we're supposed to do. And it'll be for our good if we do that. But a lot of people choose not to. in chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, "And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." God says there will be blessings upon those who obey me. But those who don't obey me will not be blessed. You'll have problems. See, in Deuteronomy 12:32, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it, and you shall not add to it nor take away from it." In 26 and 16, "This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart, with all your soul." Yeah, we've heard that phrase three times already. How are we supposed to serve the Lord? Diligently, to the best of our ability. We're to pay attention to what he has to say. Now in chapter 31, 9 through 12, "So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time, in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses you, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law." So what did it do? Moses wrote down all the rules. He gave it to the Levites, and he also gave it to the heads of each tribe. And his command was, what are we going to do? You're going to read it to the people every 7 years. Every 7 years is what they call the year of Jubilee. And that basically, everything reverts back to the way it was originally set up. And if you owed somebody and you had to give up some of your property, at the end of that seventh year, you'd get your property back. You'd get a fresh start. Everybody got a fresh start on the year of Jubilee. And they were supposed to read this law in front of all Israel. I mean, all the law. I mean, we're talking about the Pentateuch here. And we know they didn't do it. Because as soon as they went and conquered the land, everybody went to their own place, and it took about 5 to 7 years to conquer the land. And the people chose not to fully execute God's plan. So then they started having problems. And so they didn't read from the law. And so it doesn't stretch the imagination very much to understand why the next generation did not know God. They didn't understand him. That's what the scripture says in Judges. There arose a generation that did not know God. They were supposed to hear these things over and over. Now, God still commands legalism. See, all these we read were from the Old Testament. And some people might say, but these were commands given to the Israelites by Moses all those years ago. And you say those laws don't apply to us anymore. We're under a different system called grace. So with grace, we don't have to do all those commands. Wrong. See, since we are under grace, why do we have to obey the commandments of God so carefully? You know, I've even had people ask me that. If we're under grace, why do I have to keep doing the commands? The answer is because God commands us to keep his commandments. I mean, there's the answer right there. People who choose not to obey God's commands, they're going to pay a price. They're going to suffer the consequences. See, Jesus taught, Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What is the will of the Father in heaven? Well, he's given us his commandments. That's what we need to do. And just because you say, oh, I love the Lord, I love Jesus, and Lord, that's not enough. You got to do the Father's will. And Jesus taught, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, John 14:15. And in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. After he announced that all authority has been given to me, go and make disciples, what do you do with those disciples? You teach them. Teach them what? Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And so, what Jesus taught, we're supposed to do. So, are the words of Jesus important? You know, a lot of people say, well, the words of Jesus are important. He was, after all, the Son of God. So, his words are important, but not those words. And see, there's always a but in there when people don't want to do it. I believe you need faith to be saved, but you don't have to be baptized. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. And so what happens with teaching and understanding and thinking like that is people get the idea, well, if I just do enough, if I do a little bit, I'm doing enough. And so if I don't study, am I going to get to go to heaven? Some people have it in their mind, well, I don't have to study. I don't want to study. Are they going to get to go to heaven? Don't we have a command that says study to show yourselves approved? Yeah, there is a command there. So if we choose not to study the Bible, I mean, we basically violated one of the commands. See, these ought to be a sufficient number of verses that should impress upon us and everyone that doing God's will is a duty of every person. Like we said, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. This is man's duty. That's what he's supposed to do. So why do people charge us with legalism in a derogatory way? The answer is simple. You know, we think about it. Should not the label of legalist be a badge of honor? If we are following God's word to the best of our ability and someone accuses us of being this way, shouldn't that be a badge of honor? I'm glad someone recognizes I'm trying to serve the Lord the way I'm supposed to. But yet they don't use it in that way. They use it in a derogatory way. See, their problem is that they have chosen to turn away from the truth of God's word and practice the doctrines and precepts of men. And that's what Isaiah talked about in chapter 30. He said, to the seer, do not see. To the prophet, do not speak. Speak to us smooth words. We don't want to hear any more about the Holy One of Israel. We don't want to hear any more about God. We don't want you pushing God on us and telling us how we're supposed to live. We want to do what we want to do. And some people, they're going to give in. You know, like Paul told Timothy, the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but they want to have their ears tickled, so they're going to get teachers telling them what they want to hear. Oh, you're okay, don't worry. You haven't been baptized? That's right, you can still go to heaven. You don't obey God? You can still go to heaven. You don't go to church? You can still go to heaven. That's what they want to hear. And that is all false. See, whether they follow other men or just make up their own rules, they are not following God's rules. God gave us commands, and we can read those commands in the Bible. But you know, all these people that do this, somehow, I think that down deep, many of them know that they are wrong. But they just ignore that feeling. You know, it's like all those that say, well, I know what the Bible says, but this is what I feel. This is how I want to do it. Somehow, some way, people know that they're wrong. They just ignore that. Just like in our country, there's a lot of people going around breaking the law all the time. And yet, I'm just going to ignore that fact. They know it. And they know if they got caught, they would have to pay the consequences. They would have to suffer the consequences, pay the price, whatever. Down deep, many of them probably know that they are wrong in the sight of God, but they just ignore that. They mask that feeling, they cover it up, or they hide that feeling in themselves. The problem is, it's going to come out on Judgment Day. So we should seek to keep all of God's commandments. And we don't have to sit there and try and pick out, well, I like this one, I like that one. It's not a cafeteria style or a buffet style where you just go and pick which ones you want. You have to take everything as it's dished out to you. And if someone calls us a legalist, yeah, we should be proud about that. Every now and then, I see people writing articles about those nasty old legalists. And when you sit down, all you have to, what I've done is I just ask them, what is the definition of legalist? Strict adherence to the law. Okay, what's wrong with that? If we're talking about God's law, what is wrong with that? I mean, they changed their tune. Well, I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean it that way. But that's how it comes across. See, those who do not obey God will be separated from Him forever. We read that 2 Thessalonians 1:9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Who are these shall be punished? Who are they? As we read back in verse 8, those who know not God and those that keep not His commandments. So, yeah, if you don't know God, you're going to be suffered and separated from Him forever. If you choose not to keep His commandments, you're going to be separated from Him forever. So, are you making an effort to become a legalist? And I'm not talking about establishing your own type of religion and holding others accountable to that. I'm talking about following what God has said in His book. If you're not trying your best, if you're not putting forth an effort to obey God and keep His commandments, the fate for you is the same as everyone else there who has turned their back on God. It's an eternal torment that is waiting for you. So, make the effort to be a legalist. That means, first of all, learning all His commands. The only way you can learn His commands is to go and study His Word. When you find out there's things that you should be doing, you need to start doing them. And if you find out there's things you have been doing that you shouldn't have been doing, you need to stop doing those things. Change your ways, repent, and turn your life around and serve the Lord God. Because when we serve the Lord God, we have the blessing of heaven to look forward to. We have the hope of that eternal life, salvation, that Jesus promised. But only those who obey Jesus and follow Him are going to benefit from that. So think about those things. That's our lesson this morning. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.